Welcome to Conversations Around Conversations about the conversations we just had on the Clubhouse app earlier today. I'm Jess, CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked.
And I'm Joe, co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. This is Tech Theater, Clubhouse Conversations. It's a podcast to continue that conversation we started on Clubhouse. Every week, we have these amazing discussions with really brilliant people who sit at the intersection of technology and theater.
We always walk away from these Clubhouse talks with so much more we want to chat through, ideas, thoughts. And so we decided to share those on this here podcast and reach even more of our friends and collaborators. So with that, welcome to Tech Theater Tuesday. This week on Clubhouse, we talked about a lot of good stuff. It was like a really good conversation. We had a lot of awesome people join us that haven't been in the room for a while, so that was exciting. We chatted about Marquee TV, which is a theater, dance, opera, streaming service app, and whether a good model currently exists that both theater producers and audiences will buy into. We also talked about the news that dropped that former Amazon executive, and I love this, by the way, Jeff Bezos's shadow advisor, I think is what they called it, shadow advisor. She was like this shadow COO of Amazon, just joined Hopin as their new COO. And finally, we talked about audio as a format and how things like Clubhouse and the Audible Theater in New York City can shape the way that new theatrical performances are made. It was such a fun conversation.
Very freewheeling, very, very rambling. I want a word that captures that, like it sort of flowed, it like kept moving forward.
Oh yeah.
And it's sort of like that there's a sense of momentum to it.
There was definitely a sense of momentum to that conversation. I agree. I particularly thought it was interesting because, of course, if you don't know, we never know what news we're going to be talking about for the week. Lucy collects her favorite news items across the week on our Slack community tech theater channel and then sort of throws things in the mix. So we didn't know we were going to talk about Marquee TV. And that is actually a company we had a really early conversation with, like March or April of last year during when the pandemic started.
Yeah, we spoke to them sort of early on in 2020. Back when everyone and everything in the world shifted to a digital venue, a digital sphere. And so everyone was open to and sort of looking for, what are you doing? What are you doing right now?
Yeah.
And we had some interesting and fun conversations with them because, you know, they had already had Marquee.tv up and running. They had a subscription-based product that allowed people to access and view all types of different theatrical content within their service. And our part of that conversation was, we think it's really cool to like put a live engagement, a live experience around the viewing of some pre-recorded experience. And the hope being that we could have some sort of partnership, collaboration, do cool things together. Didn't go anywhere, spoiler alert. But that's okay too. They continue to mosey on, selling subscriptions, getting people to watch things on the internet, in theory. I don't know, I never did it myself. And we went our direction as well, helping people put on live productions.
I think that they're a really, and this is actually something we didn't get into on Clubhouse. I mean, and what we, you know about them, they're a great example of how things shifted for arts organizations in the pandemic. Because as Joe said, they were already up and running. One of the most interesting things I feel like we learned about through them, is that, you know, for all of y'all who listened to the Justin Masterson episode about Broadgate in the UK, this will not come as a surprise to you. But what we learned from the Marquee TV was that they got their foothold originally by filming arts performances in the UK because there is a fund through the government that is specific, that like in a grant, one of the grants that all the theaters and or arts organizations get, there's a line item that you have to spend it on filming, making digital recordings of performances. And so that was how Marquee TV really got their start, because there was already this funding mandate, right, in the UK. So people wanted to put their pre-recorded performances somewhere. And I thought that was like so smart, and I didn't know that existed. I was like, that's so cool. And what happened for them in the pandemic, but as a result of what was happening for all the arts organizations that had already been making pre-recorded performances, is that as their venues shut down, there was this new sort of need to gather live that they hadn't felt the need to do before, you know, didn't know how to do. And Marquee was trying to figure that out too, because they had built their platform and their model to be, you know, pre-recorded performances. And of course, that's the conversation, as Joe said, that we had with them. But I think it's like really interesting and indicative of what a lot of the transformation, a lot of organizations were looking at the beginning of the pandemic. I think probably, if we're being honest, we're hoping to like get to walk away from. And now I think, you know, a year and a half in, I think are having to reexamine, you know, the value of that. But as you all know, not a surprise, Joe and I, we think it's an opportunity. We know it's a huge opportunity for people. It's just a little bit of a lift in building out a new infrastructure in your organization, you know?
But every arts org out there, you can do this.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Invest the time, the energy. Go read some things on the internet. Come talk to us.
Yeah.
I want to take this briefly aside for a second to something that you were just saying about sort of the government in the United Kingdom actually like kind of putting a thumb on the scale. And this is like the second example that we have of putting a thumb on the scale in a way that like encourages this kind of like weird innovation in the arts and the entertainment space. Mm-hmm. And when I think about like the States and sort of like big government, get out of my business. I'm like, oh, why can't we be putting our thumb on the scale in this sort of like positive way? And I'm sure there's plenty of negative examples from like, you know, British Parliament, all the various laws and rules and regulations that have been put in place. But I want to just live in these two nice ones for a little while. And the world that is created because the government steps in and says, hey, arts, culture, those are valuable things. They're part of our like sort of European exports, if you will. Do them. Here's money. Go for it.
I mean, so my first thought is like, that's a really cool, you know, when I think about how to be rich and what to do with my money, right? Like the way you can give back and put framework around the way you give back based on what you think is important. You kind of can do that as a private individual. I've never said anything so American in my entire life, right?
I'm going to fight
I just don't like, in what world does the government do this here in the United States? Maybe 2500, the year 2500, if we're still on Earth, like
the year 2000. Yeah.
Exactly. And I really love that idea, right? Like starting a fund that is like expressly for that or whatever. But that actually reminds me of we didn't talk about it this week on Clubhouse, but in the news this week, right? Mackenzie, whatever her last name is, that's not Bezos anymore.
Scott, I believe.
Mackenzie Scott did another like stealth drop of, I don't know, $1 billion because she's just like stealth dropping this stuff. And it's all arts organizations this time. And they didn't know they were going to get the money. Did you read that article? Because I posted it up.
I skimmed it, as you said earlier. I'm not a speed reader, so my skim still took about as long as it would take you to read the full article. There's something that irks me so bad about like philanthropy generally.
Oh no.
and like the idea of like,
I think, can we get a, sorry, can I pause you for a second? We just need a sound effect, like a jingle that's like, our complicated relationship with capitalism. Every time this happens.
I like it. Was anyone recording that? Oh, great.
Okay, so complicate your feelings about philanthropy.
It's just like it relies on the benevolence of a single really wealthy individual.
Yeah, that sucks.
And like, what if that person isn't benevolent? What if they're a total monster?
Yeah.
And now they just influence the entire world, the shape of our politics.
Excuse me.
Yeah, there's so many of them that can really kind of easily is a little bit oversimplified, but like easily shape the course of, yeah, you know, a local community or a state or even the whole like United States of America, just by flexing their muscle via their money. So like, thank God Mackenzie Scott is, you know, a benevolent despot, but I didn't vote for her to influence the way our world operates. And like, isn't that the sort of democratic ideal that we exist in this American ideal of,
well,
like,
to be fair, this is a bad example. She just gave money to a bunch of arts organizations. It wasn't,
it's great, but like the concept.
I'm so mad at you right now.
Outside of this use of money, I chafe against. And so, like, even these positive ones, I'm still like, argh.
What qualifies the government to be better than an individual at that?
We elected the government. All have a say as to what happens and where that money in theory goes. It, in practice, obviously, it works the way it currently works.
Yeah.
But at least we're freaking trying.
Yeah, that's true.
Versus like, I really hope that this benevolent despot doesn't strike me down. Should I just put a plug in here right now for we love rich people? Yeah. Insert jingle.
Pew, pew, pew.
Okay, so now that part's over, I just felt the need to throw it out there. Yeah, love that she's just throwing money.
UK.
And I don't want to compare her to Beyonce, but it just reminded me of like when, you know, Beyonce, was it Lemonade? And that like dropped totally silent and like blew everyone's minds. It's like, is she the Beyonce of the philanthropic world?
Yeah. The article's actually
I think not, but like whatever.
No. The article's really fascinating. They like the people at these arts organizations like got reached out to by someone and didn't say who they were with. Like just asking some questions, and then all of a sudden like $2 million showed up on their doorstep and they were like, this is America's Funniest Home Videos. What's going on? And then found out it was Mackenzie Scott. And like, of course you can easily find that she's doing this right now.
Yeah.
I say she spend sneaking all into your Jeff house Bezos' and... money. See you later, brother.
Yeah. Okay. One more quick gripe.
Okay.
It feels so performative to
you can't win. How did she win?
I don't know, super transparent process for giving out money that is of equal access to anyone who may want it or use it or need it. I don't actually know. Listeners of the podcast who are in the philanthropic world and have ideas, hit us up. Hashtag TechTheaterCH. But it feels slightly like this really good idea ran through the PR machine and was like, how can we get the most press coverage around this? That's what it feels like to me. Maybe I'm just a cynic, but like, it feels like it's in there and it feels a bit like it's manipulative. You know, granted this organization is getting whatever it is, $100 million, $200 million, really fucking awesome. But like, they're also being used to promote Mackenzie Scott and her new foundation or organization or whatever it is that she's like releasing through. And on net, again, positive. Really beneficial, but like I can't not see that lens of it, and you're looking at me like I'm a monster.
I am not. I'm grinning for those of you listening. I am smiling, maybe like with slightly clenched teeth. I was actually thinking through. I mean, you should read the art. I actually think you should read the article because it's not. It doesn't read to me like it was pitched as someone who frequently is pitching to people to write about us, but.
The best sponsored content is the one that you don't know is sponsored content.
Yeah, exactly. What do they call that? Native advertising? Yeah. Or something like that. But anyway, it read like someone got a hold in that local town that this little nonprofit had been gifted the money. Like, and I can't, that's what I can't get past, like in my own bias is like, in particular, the list of arts organizations, they're small, they're local, they aren't big flashy. I gave the Disney concert hall enough money to put my name on something, right? Like it's a lot of incredible arts organizations that I'm sure do enormous amounts for it. And I just like can't get past that. Like that's huge to get $2 million in unrestricted funds just out of nowhere. You know what I mean? You could invest that in an endowment and like it can make, because it's such an enormous amount. Like if there's no restrictions, you can make money off of that money for the first time, right? Yeah. Like what a crazy thing for an arts organization.
It is really amazing that the opportunity that this arts organization has and the world that has now become possible for them to be part of and to access, and this institution, you know, assuming they don't just somehow spend it all.
The lottery curse.
will exist forever, or at least like they will have a long, long history.
Yeah.
Because they'll be able to create an endowment that spits out cash that allows them to continue to operate and invest in their own projects and sort of distribute that money and that capital through their own community. So I'm I'm all down for the like good parts of this story where some wonderful organization is getting a lot of money to do really great things. It's the delivery mechanism that I'm a little chafing a little bit against.
Speaking of Bezos, you want to talk about the Amazon executive going over to Hop?
Did you set up that transition like 10 minutes ago? That was amazing. I just didn't even see it coming.
Her secrets.
I feel like I just got like smacked in the face by how great that transition was. And now I'm ruining it by calling attention to it. But damn, I'm losing my mind.
Which this is a podcast about how to or not do transitions. It's like all we ever talk about.
For the record, I'm bad. Jess is good. Moving on.
Oh, man. Did you want to talk about it? Again,
let's
repeating
do it.
I'm good.
I feel like I did the same thing on Clubhouse where I like took us back to Marquee TV in the middle of this conversation.
Isn't it, by the way, can I actually, now that you're rolling, can I pause you and say, isn't it nice to laugh? If you are listening to this podcast and you run your own arts organization or you run your own business, oh, I feel like I'm doing a commercial now. It is so stressful. And we have had a particularly stressful couple of weeks around here. It's so nice to laugh at something, even especially if it's Joe.
It's so rude. I love it.
All right. Anyway.
I do want to go where the conversation went as well on Clubhouse, because I thought it was a really fun and really interesting place that I so brilliantly took us.
Fired.
It was about, you know, the Amazons, the Disneys, the Googles the world sort of taking over, continuing to take over, branching further and further into other spaces, and whether or not live performance that has, you know, Broadway, you know, live performance that has been historically dominated by the five families, as we continue to reference, like, will they be able to creep into that space? Because they already have in many ways through live audio with Amazon, you know, through the
Audible Theater,
and obviously YouTube and their performance space at Inglewood. And, you know, will they, through properties that they own, properties that they've created, you know, intellectual property, content, brands, actually start creating their own live performances to rival something like a Broadway, as a way, because we were talking about sort of Broadway and that world that is kind of slow to innovate, slow to integrate technology, slow to evolve, and how the heck is that world going to move into the digital world a la Hamilton on Disney? And is it more likely, and is it going to happen more quickly, that actually those companies and their digital properties will make the transition across that spectrum from the other side and into the Broadway world and create their own theaters to put on their own live performances and to take ticket sales away in theory from the Broadways, the off-Broadways, the theaters of the world.
Well, I will point out that like this is directly tied to the conversation we just had, and is your like nightmare scenario, right? Because like what I mentioned in Clubhouse when this came up was that a gal from Broadway Podcast Network tweeted last week, hot tip, you know, anonymous source, if someone happened to have told me that a big tech company is looking for a Broadway house to install their live streaming equipment into, I don't know how I feel about it, I think is what she said. And it's
kind of like a classic social media nonsense. It's like,
well, but it's definitely true. It's like as a better version of Blind Item than Cindy Adams. So, but that is exactly what we're talking about with philanthropy, except for in capitalism, right? Because the answer to your question is yes. Nothing is going to ever move Broadway and theater fast enough for my tastes into like opening digital doors, except a giant tech company with a motherfuck ton of money, right? And the second one of them does it and they go in, and instead of building their own space, like just if we're going to go off this tweet, they're going to go into one of the Schubert, you know, houses or whatever it is, that will then... The capitalization is as such that just like with a startup, a venture-backed startup, they can actually get everything they need. They don't have to build slow, figure it out slowly, right? They can just like slam it all down people's throats, show a proof of concept, and then everybody's going to be like, oh, I get it now. Mm-hmm. Like we'll do that in our theaters, except probably not as well. And it will definitely move the needle faster, but it will have been done by a person we did not elect.
Word. We got to tax them.
That also doesn't pay any taxes.
I do think it's interesting. It's funny, like, back to the philanthropy comparison to, like, what would this be called? The corpocracy?
Corpocracy?
I don't know. I'm trying to, like...
Or like corporation?
Yeah, there's probably a term that exists. And maybe it's something close to corpocracy, corporocracy. But basically, like, what if Amazon bought land and created its own country, sort of a thing? And so the government is also a big business that is obviously, like, probably exports a bunch of stuff. I don't know what they do.
Yikes.
And that just sounds like terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Unless they're a benevolent despot giving us all the content that we can consume. Cue Bo Burnham and transition.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Actually, that's the thing about Audible theater. I don't know if you know this, you might, but Audible is sold to Amazon, but the founder still runs it. And it's like its own entity. He really does run the company. And they're headquartered out in Newark. Audible is. Yeah.
Well, I know that.
Yeah. And like Audible Theater is so cool. It like is really something I aspire to for us as a company, because it's definitely for profit. Right. And these plays go on Audible after they do their 6-week runs at the Audible Theater, which I believe was the old Minetta Lane theater in the Village. But they have a $5 million playwright fund. So they're literally funding amazing playwrights like Lauren Gunderson to write plays for the format, right? That which basically just ends up meaning a heavier emphasis on sound design, because ultimately, right, it's going to be, even though you're like lots of us will get to see it across the 6 weeks in New York, it's ultimately going to live in audio form. So it's, mm-hmm. I found the plays I've seen down there to be much, much more thoughtful around their sound design. Really cool, written around that, written to support it, to amplify it. Mm-hmm. So like great playwrights get paid, commissioned to write new plays, get to experiment with new formats. They get 6-week runs in New York City, and then it goes out on Audible. I don't know what the back end deal is, like for downloads and, you know, like we've been talking frequently in here about subscriber, if it pushes someone to subscribe, is any of that being shared? I don't know. But The 75% of what I do know, I love about Audible Theater. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, the way you just describe it sounds incredible. I love the idea of just like, here's a pool of money to create things for, and like specifically the idea that it's for a new medium.
Yeah.
Like feels so important in that.
Agreed.
And part of how I think, you know, when a YouTube or a Disney or an Amazon creates their own live performance theater, mm-hmm. it's going to be a new-ish medium. Mm-hmm. It's going to be captured and distributed and tickets sold to a live performance of it digitally and or recorded and then redistributed somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's going to open up, create new fences for the creativity. And mm-hmm. like, hi, here's like new quirky things you got to think about now. And it's like, oh, how can we play with that?
Yeah.
But like the idea that we're creating those relationships and creating those new ways to consume, to watch, that are going to be different. They're going to require different ways to tell stories and require the creativity of individual artists to actually go and think about it and try things and screw up and succeed. And I love that. I love that element of new.
Yeah, it's funny that I feel like I give this pep talk a lot to my artist friends who are like, I hate social media. I have to make things. And I'm always like, my friends are not that whiny. But my response always is, it's an opportunity to tell a story in a new form. Like, we've been given the opportunity with no gatekeeper to tell stories and just with like different forms and mediums. You know what I mean? Which I actually love. And as my friend Elias says, you know, Jess, but you hack the matrix. You can see like how that all works together. But I love that. Like when I write, I want to use all of the pieces and parts of the form of writing to figure out how to tell a story. And how I tell a story when I write something on Medium is not the same way I tell a story when I'm acting on stage, or the same way I tell a story when I'm, you know, doing a story series on Instagram or making a digital short for a theater.
Yeah. Or talking on a podcast.
Just
uses lots of hand gesticulations just to spite you, audience.
So rude.
The stories are so much better in person.
Oh my goodness. Well, this was almost as rousing of a conversation as the one we had on Clubhouse today. Definitely more complimentary towards you.
Nailing it. And we want to hear what you think. We want to know what you think about Marquee TV and the future of streaming platforms in the theater and opera and performance space.
I don't want to know.
I do want
you to think about all that. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
And yeah, and like, what gets you excited about the other mediums that are being created and the fun, cool things that you're going to do with it? So keep those conversations going around and around by using the hashtag TechTheaterCH. You can hit us up at BWYUnlocked on Twitter. And we, yeah, really want to hear what you think.
And of course, join our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse. Raise your hand, jump in, and share your thoughts.
And if you'd like to join the Broadway Unlocked family, you can actually host a show in our club.
What?
Yeah. Just go to broadwayunlocked.com/ch and pitch your idea.
Every single topic we talk about each week is inspired by the articles we read and the people on our stage. So please do tweet us at hashtag TechTheaterCH. Say hi on social media and join in the conversation. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone. Lucy, destroy this podcast.